Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Welcome to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm very excited today to have an amazing and beautiful lady here supporting and serving in her stewardship that she does every single day. But today we get some of her time on the podcast. So Farah, is it Sadiq? Sadiq.
So it's Farah Sadiq. And then... But in our language, you would say Farah. So,
Farah, yeah. Amazing. Well, for those of you that don't know Farah, I like that, you know, I want to go in that core, like, you know, authentic way of using your name. For those of you that don't know Farah, you know, she's really doing beautiful things. She's an Afghan-American female tech founder, a beautiful teacher, an amazing healer, who is also the CEO and co-founder of a startup called iAscend, a social marketplace for holistic health and healing experience. Well, where I believe, you know, is really important because wellness is now becoming a right and not a privilege, right? So you're a master of multiple different forms of energy in the medicine that you kind of offer to the world. And I really want to go into that in a bit, but before we do, Farah, I'm super inspired around, you know, the beauty that you share, the wisdom that you share, the intentions that you have in the way that you want to offer your value to the world, and as you do, and as you consistently do. I'm curious to know, what have been, you know, I always talk about on the Resilient Minds, you know, the experience of our lives has really become our X factor, and it's contributed to our greatest Y factor, our biggest purpose. And so, you know, for me, we always have, you know, we all have these different stories of why we go through things and how we want to contribute more profoundly to the world. Has there been a defining moment in your life that really helped you say, hey, like, this is it, this is what I need to do, and I need to continue moving forward, and I'm not going to give up no matter how hard it is? And before you answer that question, we kind of came, before we went live, we were both like, oh, there's these waves right now. And it's interesting because I'm definitely feeling it. And I know that you mentioned you were as well. It's like a collective feeling. But nonetheless, like, I'm sure there's been multiple defining moments. One that like has been like, wow, like this is like what I need to do, how I need to step up. And this is what I'm going to continue to create as a result of this.
First, thank you for inviting me here to have this, you know, as I like to call it, the cosmic conversations. It's great that, you know, we can align with people that are like-minded and that are operating on the same frequency. And we're all contributing our piece to the collective shift. So thank you. You know, as far as life experiences and turning points, I mean, if anything, I would say I'm the pivot queen, because I had so many defining moments where I was asked, you know, do I want to level up? Do I want to face myself? Do I want to face this fear? Do I want to see what's behind the door? I call it the shadow door, that there's a shadow door. And if I want to break it down and see what's the, you know, on the other side. And it's always, the door is written with the word fear, right? And it's always us in our own way. So when you said that, I was trying to see what popped up And I guess a couple moments did. So 7 years ago, I was like rock bottom. Like I had gone through a lot of trauma in my life. It was a lot of ancestral karma from being from Afghanistan, a lot of heavy, heavy stuff that pertained to my birth chart, I learned later. And I woke up one day and I said to myself, I said, either I'm going to off myself. I'm just done with this life. I can't go forward with this anymore. I can't hold this pain anymore. It's too much. Or I'm going to find out why everything happened the way it did. And I'm going to be strong mind, body, and spirit. And that is the turning point, is the power of intention. Mm. That there was a fork in the road, and they were two extreme roads. And just by saying that, I chose the other road, obviously, sitting here 7 years later. And that's when my awakening happened. And I went through this intense, rapid healing journey, this intense unraveling. And through intentional psychedelic work, through meditation, through reading, through everything, just this like intense discovery of self, every little thing about me, getting into that level of awareness where I wanted to know myself like to the T. Like I didn't want to be like to question anything that I did. I wanted to know that, hey, that's a part of who I am. And that's, I do this because of that. And then I would say that now, because I feel like I'm on the other kind of like in a better space, obviously, since then, it's just been, oh, like now I have to get out of the mode of thinking I need to keep fixing things, because I was in fixing mode the whole time. And being, you know, working with thousands of people, working on healing people, you know, working collectively, but also working with my own people, Afghans, right? Especially right now.
Especially.
It's like, I'm sorry?
No, I'm just saying, especially right now. You said especially, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, everything just kind of has this connect the dots moment. Like there's a connect the dots moment where you're like, okay, everything happened the way that it was supposed to. And our souls are so intelligent. Like it already knows your plan. Even the pain and the misery, it was all a part of the plan, because that's the alchemy of our soul, is turning that pain into wisdom. And then we embody it. And that's our medicine for the world. Mm. Like when I, you know, right now, like when I work with Afghans, I'm attuning Afghans who are doing humanitarian work. Like they have a lot of light they have to hold. They have a lot of energy they have to hold. And so I've been attuning them the past month during this thing. And an attunement is like a big, you know, like energetic shedding, which I do on my students, but this is a special case, right? So watching people, like for me, service is really important. This is a service to my people. I don't ask for money for this. I need my people to be able to hold light right now. I need them to have their hearts open and to be in service. As painful as everything is right now, we need to combat the fear and the darkness with light. So I'm just trying to activate love. I'm trying to activate light. I am calling out injustice as it is, but I want to hold the light as much as I can for not just for myself, but like for my people. And I want them to be empowered. And ever since I've been doing these attunements, I've been watching them getting aligned in their path, like really owning their purpose. And that's what it's about. And it's not just, you know, Afghans, it's collectively. It's like, we need to be in that space where it's, I talked about cliques last night, yesterday on my post. And I said, it's not about this vibe tribe kind of mentality where it's only this group of people that agrees with me and I'm going to be a part of that group. It's like, no, we need to evolve and we need to have dialogue with people that think differently. And we need to kind of have these shared spaces and like allow people to lean in. Because
I just love that you share that. And if I may add, I've been in like these, I'm in Ibiza right now and I've been meeting with a lot of great people here.
That sucks.
It's been really special here. You know, I've been meeting with a lot of amazing people here on the island. And what I've noticed too, as well, is there's opportunities for growth. I mean, there always is everywhere you go. And it's interesting how we want to, as a humanity, embrace and bring in new energies and new callings and new experiences. But my question is, how often are we open to it? And meaning, are we actually wanting to listen? Or are we always wanting to just have somebody around that projects maybe good energy, but like, are we really willing to listen to what is being said as well? Because, and I'll tell you about just my experience is like, you know, I've been here a month and I've gotten to get to know some pretty amazing people here, some elders and things like this. And I'm a little boy, like I'm the most innocent child I believe that I ever could be. So I'm curious. I have a lot of curiosity. And I also want to bring out this level of energy that is unique to me. And so, you know, I have these intentions, these ideas. And sometimes I feel like I'm not being heard. And is it because of my own thing? Probably, right? Because at the end of the day, it's my own responsibility. Mm-hmm. But I also have been told a couple times, you know, I was in a journey the other day, an ayahuasca journey, singing and praying with the pages, only to be told by some of the people that attended to like sit down and shut up. And it was really interesting because that's where like I understand that how many times are people like wanting us to sit down and shut up when we have like our self-expression, our voice that really wants to come out and share with the world.
Yeah.
You know, so go ahead.
And I think that there's a time for that. Yeah. I think it's about us like being able to be in our conscious awareness and be like, is this a time where I'm supposed to listen? Or is this a mm-hmm. time where I'm supposed to really speak? And, you know, of course, social media is like, you know, we can go off whenever we want. There's no barrier there. And then Twitter even crazier, right? But like, I think that, you know, something like a ceremony like that, you know, I would have seen it as you were having a very healing moment that you were saying something, right? That something was coming out. I don't know. I would think that would be like embraced, right? I would think that.
And it was by most people, right? It was just, especially the people that were leading it. It was very embraced.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it goes back to our inner child, right? Yeah. It's like it's every person has it, is the inner child that wants to be heard. It's the inner child that wants to get some kind of validation for their ideas and their thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do we do that deep inner work and say, you know what, I'm safe. I'm safe to express myself. I'm worthy of expressing myself. My words are medicine for this world, that, you know, obviously if we're doing it from a conscious place and really being aligned with our truth, because everybody's truth has value in this world because we need it. We need to create this new paradigm. What we can't have is just people being complacent or being, I want to say, like not expressing themselves. I think that people have that kind of, I want to say, battle, whether it's they speak too much or they express too much or they express too little. And it's always, I always say everything is polarity. So there's this polarity of like, are you finding balance and being like, hey, I'm expressing myself in a conscious way, and I'm not, and I don't feel like I'm just throwing everything out there. Like I'm putting out information, I'm putting out truth that is aligned with me, and I'm living in alignment with myself when I do that, because that is you being, you're a divine being having a human experience, right? And you want to like let people know in this physical reality, like this is my wisdom, this is my medicine, and it has to come from like an intentional place, right?
Absolutely. And I think that being in such a sacred experience, which is life, I think sometimes people forget that our life is such a sacred experience, that it's important to really embody these visions that we have in our, you know, in our minds, and make them realities. And it takes courage to do that every single day when we wake up, right? Because like our dreams are not meant to just be dreams. They're meant to be our embodied reality. So when we open our eyes, we're actually living them.
Yeah. And I think that people think that they kind of go through this, you know, dance back and forth of like what is in their dreams and their visions, and, you know, trying to see, is that going to manifest in this reality? And it's always our fear, right, that blocks it. It's always our conditioning that blocks it. Because if we, I'm sure, like, you know, after ceremony or after, like, when I've done plant medicine and, you know, other psychedelic work, like, everything's just happening. Everything's just manifesting. And then obviously, you integrate back into society, the projections start coming back at you and everything like that, and then you're in it again. But there's a reason for that, is because you're supposed to grab it in that realm, and you're supposed to ground vision. And grounding vision is the hardest thing to do. And grounding vision is basically like you having to, as you're capturing this vision, because, you know, you're being spoon-fed the vision, you're doing this shadow work, and you're doing this deep inner work, this deep clearing work to align with the vision. Because it's like our small self is like, oh my God, this is my path. Oh my God, this is like, whoa, like this is really big. Like, I don't, and a lot of us reject incarnation. What we do is we say, oh no, that I'm not worthy of that. Like, this thing, like, I'm going to be in that much, I'm going to have that much personal power. I'm going to change the world. Like, and we have to go through that process, that soul alchemy, where, you know, it's turning the lead into gold, right? And it's to get our soul, our body, our basically in accepting the incarnation, that this is your path, saying, okay, I accept it. I'm going to do this with, you know, God's grace, divine guidance, everything. I'm going to live in alignment with who I am, what I was born to do. And then that's when everything starts to come. And you don't have, there's no resistance, because our minds create the resistance, right? If we're operating, if we're keeping our heart space open and we're keeping this quiet, the heart has the highest frequency. A heart that, you know, a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. It's one of my favorite things, right? So anything that's aligned with your heart, that's your soul's purpose. So the divine or whatever you believe in is going to respond to that. Universe is going to respond to that. Oh, this person's living in alignment with their heart. So I'm going to give this person everything with ease, the tools that they need to embody this path.
Yeah. The tools. And it's interesting how the tools, it's the embodiment need to be created by the tools that we actually, it's like the flashlight, right? So we find the flashlight, we find the tools, take the tools, bring them down, to use this embodiment in this physical space, and then amplify it by having powerful conversations with each other and recognizing the family around the planet. Like, you know, like I feel, you know, we have this like ability to connect on this really deep level in this physical space, because we've both been down a similar path of understanding where we need to now shine our light, right? Where we need to now have these conversations, how we need to show up in strength, in humility, and in grace and compassion, right? Knowing that we're doing the best we can because we've seen something, but also having compassion to those that are doing the best they can with the knowledge they have. And I think that that's really the key component of like us as leaders. And of course, we're all leaders because we have to lead ourselves in our biggest sense with grace and gratitude. But I'm learning, and maybe you can share some of your insight, is as you go through this like understanding of your duty and responsibility when it comes to leading yourself, and you have this mission, this vision, and people come and they say to you, hey, like, you can't do this. This is not possible. Or you should shut up and sit down, or you should, do everything else except what you see, knowing that you're coming from this place of like true love, deep understanding, knowing in truth that you're doing it with love. What is it how have you been able to overcome that?
I think it's like, just, you know, every night I do a lot of deep meditation and clearing work, and I try to get myself into a space of humility before I go to bed, because we're in a world right now that hearts are broken. Everyone's shutting their hearts, and I can go into the day with an open heart, and I see what's happening with my people right now. It's constant. It's like soul crushing, heartbreaking. And I can hold it in that I'm lucky enough that I can hold it, but I'm lucky enough that I'm able to clear it in the evening with the Reiki, with the meditation, that I can be this vessel and I can transmute. I think that this thing about showing up, and you know, we just keep going through these level ups as a collective, and we have to not, you know, you touched on something that I talk about all the time, which is we have to meet people where they're at. And it's, you know, we are all leaders in our own way. We are all channels. We are all divine beings. It's not about like holding it. This is what I am, and putting it on some spiritual ego pedestal. It's about all that spiritual work was that you're supposed to be, you know, when people talk about 5D, 3D, you're supposed to construct yourself in 5D, get all the information, and you're supposed to bring it back to 3D, and you're supposed to embody 5D to create a 5D world in this physical reality. And I think that that's where I see a lot of problems in the spiritual community, is that everybody wants to stay here. They want to just be like, yes, you know, I don't want to come down there, or there's some kind of spiritual hygiene or judgment of like people who haven't, like, I want to say, you know, accelerated in their spiritual journey, or they're not spiritual enough, or they're not on your vibration or something like that. That's not what this is about. We're all supposed to serve one another. That is the new paradigm. That is the age of Aquarius. We are supposed to serve everyone. But that means we're supposed to serve ourselves the most. Mm-hmm. That's our evolution. It's not, hey, let's self-love ourselves away from everyone into isolation, which is what a lot of people do. I understand people need it you know, for a certain amount of time. I was that person. I needed the incubation process. But not to use it as an excuse to disconnect from humanity with judgment. It's about like finding that balance, leaning in, helping when you can, having compassion, right? And I said this yesterday. I said, it's exhausting balancing your sovereignty and service. We're in Virgo season. Virgo is about all about service and service to self and service to humanity. It's like, how are we getting to that level where it's, I think that a lot of this, the past few years was everyone's being really inwards and serving themselves and self-love and everything like that. Now it's like, hey, we shifted the polarity of, you know, the self-hate and the self-love. And now we're in a better place. Now it's like, okay, we've all collectively got into that space of serving self. Now it's like, how do we lean in to the collective? How do we lean into those that are suffering? How do we do it in a way that is conscious? This is how we create the new paradigm. This is how we create the new world. That's why you see it burning right now as we speak, because as it's burning, a new world is being created. I was like, I hope that answered your question.
No, I totally like because this is the truth, right? Like, so you're definitely like, we have to step through the fire to help us understand like that we're what's being uncovered, right? And so much times, like the 5D, 3D mentality people, you're right. It's like, where's the grounding? Where's the execution? You know, the biggest thing I get so frustrated about is like, okay, let's, we have this vision, we have this experience, we have these ideas, let's make them reality. And everybody sits there like, oh my goodness, I'm scared. Because execution is really like, let's make things happen. Let's make things reality. And everybody's focused on like the story that they keep telling themselves and the story that other persons are telling themselves, instead of focusing on like, hold on a second. What can we do right now to move this project forward? What can we do right now to move these ideas forward, these visions, realities? And to me, that's the biggest thing is like, okay, great. I'm going to ask you the questions that suck. They may not make you excited because I know you want to be in the vision side of things.
Yeah.
But, and I'm also, by the way, I'm probably the biggest guy that thinks about vision because I'm like thinking how to
save the planet.
I love vision. Like I love vision. 100%. But what's important too is like, how do we bring the right people around us to say, hey, like this is my vision. And I really need this to be executed as well, because I believe in this vision so fucking clearly that I want to make it reality in this physical space. And I need the right people, the right people's resources around me, because I can't do it all by myself. And I'm okay with saying that, by the way.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, I think it goes back to this space of we're in a better space to serve ourselves. So what that means is that we're able to receive help better. And when you were talking, it was about like, how much do you trust? How much do you trust that the people that are meant to bring this vision forth are going to align with you? And when you get to that level of trust, it's like, you don't even have to lift a finger with it. It's because it's a vibration from here. It's like you call it in from here. Because you say, hey, I need help with this. And, you know, I've had situations like that with the app where someone just falls from the sky, like in divine time to come help with something. And I think that that's why I keep emphasizing on everyone taking care of their heart space daily is like, sit with your heart at night. Be like, what did you take in today? Is it yours? That's another thing. Most of the time it's not ours. And also because we're becoming more interconnected as a collective, it could just be something you're exposed to that you read in the news or something like that. And it's heavy on your heart because we're seeing how, like, we are all, I always say that we are all fragments of the same mirror. We're all these little chips, mirror chips. You're a mirror chip to me. I'm a mirror Absolutely. Chip to you, you know? And when you can get to that space of like non-judgment and like, this person is a part of me in some capacity, and I need to meet it with compassion, meet them with compassion, as much compassion as I would meet myself, and be aware. So for me, that question, that what you were talking about is this, I've talked about how people are so focused on ascending, they're not focused on grounding, right? Because that's not the point of ascension. The point of ascension is you go there and then you come back down and then you create.
Yep.
You create the vision. But it's like, we have to do all this soul work. We have to grab all the pieces of the puzzle. And then we get to a point, right, where vision is completely clear. It's like a roadmap just completely created for you. And you're like, okay, my soul is ready to embody this. And then that's when it all comes.
Yeah.
It's that level of trust and being like, and being reflective and being like, wow, I went through all of that. And my soul still knew that this is what I was supposed to be doing with my life. That, like, wow. And the beauty of that is that it's not just me. It's not just you. It's everybody. Mm. And, you know, that's one of the biggest points of ISN is that, you know, when we say wellness as a right, not a privilege, is like, the wellness industry is just, it's absolutely inaccessible to so many people that really, really need it. And, you know, we've created something that is going to give access to people, like, and that it goes back to this, like, meeting people where they're at economically and spiritually and, you know, physically, any type of growth, and being like, hey, like, it's not about, you know, the people that can afford $100 a month for yoga. It's like, the people that are working two jobs and living in low income and stressed out and everything, and that they don't have that, I want to say, spark or that activation where it's like, go inwards. There's gold there. And that's really like one of, like, my purpose with any of the work that I do is that I want to activate the person's highest potential within them. That is just my job. That's my purpose on this earth. And that goes along with, when we get to that space, we also heal the earth. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was having, I was in meditation once and I saw all these people, like I saw like humanity, all of us at our highest potential and vibrating at our highest frequency. And I saw people walking by trees, and the trees were blossoming as the people were walking by, not touching the trees or anything, just by vibration, how we can actually heal this world just by raising our own inner vibration. So,
And it's like, by the way, through what you're doing with ISN and, you know, having those abilities for people to like really tap into themselves and go through that inner journey, because for the longest time, I took this route of like traveling the planet to only define and say, recognize that, well, hold on a second, I need to go in here, like stop going looking outside. So I think with what you're doing, that's really beautiful. And I think it's super important. And how do you feel of, well, how's that been a really important role? Because I'm certain now, like with everything going on in Afghanistan, this is something that your business has been able to like add value in that category to your people, with them realizing that they need to go more inside, even though there's this trauma and these like terrible circumstances that have happened. Do you mind sharing a little bit about this experience and how ISN has been able to support in this capacity? Because I'm certain it's been huge.
Well, ISN is in like MVP mode, so it hasn't launched.
That's so still, that's still sweet.
Yeah, we're in it. But what it did do was it gave me a lot of ideas about future things I want to add to ISN, especially in regards to charity. The way that I was watching. So if you don't know, like basically the Afghan people, us Afghan diaspora, we had to put together like fundraisers, refugee resettlements. Like we had to do everything in that panic, in that uncertainty. We had to organize in that chaos. We had to organize. And I saw that, like, you know, event, like people were sending money to each other. And it was like, there were so many barriers because, you know, the banks got closed in Afghanistan and everybody had sent money to these organizations. And then the organizations had to wait. And then it was just, it was a nightmare. And so I was thinking about like, what was coming up for me was like, how do we incorporate some kind of like faster, like process of getting like money to these kind of places to receive aid in emergency situations. And again, it's just something that clicked in my head. And it was like, sometimes I get an idea and I go, oh, that's for later. Like it's there, but then it will reveal itself later when it's supposed to come. And, you know, a lot of Afghans were doing deep alchemy. I mean, we're the craziest alchemists. Like we, because we've suffered the most, or we've suffered a lot, and not the most, but we suffered a lot. And, but that also means we have the capacity to love as much, because that's the polarity that we were able to hold space for ourselves. And I posted this yesterday. I said, I've never been more prouder to be Afghan, because like the world literally ignored Afghans for 2-3 weeks and we made shit happen. And I was like, what, like I said, what's the United Nations for? What's any, what are any of these bodies for? I was like, we did everything ourselves. And so this kind of awakening, this, that's happening in Afghans, because they're coming to me doing sessions. We've been doing like, we've created online safe spaces where Afghans can express themselves, doing guided meditation, breath work. And, you know, it's, and also now I have a Reiki clinic that I've created that I'm going to do, in a couple of weeks, where Afghans can come and receive 20 minutes on their heart space, on their feet for grounding. So in all of this, I understand, and probably you do too, we always understand that out of chaos is opportunity, out of chaos is creation. And I was like in this deep alchemy moment the past month. And I said, what am I going to create from all of this? And the things have just been coming. It's just like the medicine. What is the medicine from this? Because this is a great opportunity for us to create medicine for our people. And I can't emphasize that enough. So it's the same thing as like when everything happened last year with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. I had a workshop, Alchemist Circle. And I had that every week for a year. And it was basically shadow work for Americans. And it was shadow work. It was ancestral healing. It was everything you could think of. And I guess that I'm lucky that I can be present, that I understand that I can look at something and be like, this is extremely painful and chaotic, but I can always look at it and say, but we can create something. Like we can create a medicine from this suffering. We can create something that's going to be healing for people. And, you know, that's like what ISN is. ISN is like, we talk about like in our chat, like somebody who is low income, maybe they have curiosity about energy medicine. Maybe they don't have the money to pay $100 for a Reiki session or something like that, right? But they have the curiosity, the spark, which is what I told you, my profound moment in my life was when it's intention. So if they have the intention and they have the ability to ask one question, maybe like for $10, $15, energetically, that could be an activation for that person. And that's what it's about. It's about how do we create, like remove these barriers of fear? How do we remove these barriers and let the heart be curious, let the soul be curious and be like, hey, it's not hopeless for me with what the projections of what's happening in the world. It's like what you talked about. It's like right now, externally, the world doesn't look so great, right? But what it's doing is it's having to make people go inwards the past couple of years. It's making us go in. And I'm not going to lie. Like before COVID happened, I was like, I'm totally like on, I'm totally good. You know, COVID hit and I was like, oh, we got so much more work to do. And it humbles you, right? And I always say I'm forever the student. Where these onions just unraveling constantly. And that's the most amazing thing is that, you know, we're limitless. If we want to be, if we can break through the fear, each and every one of us is limitless. We can be at our highest potential. It's breaking through here. It's really breaking through here and keeping this open.
So first and foremost, I just want to share like gratitude for all of your beauty. You know, you talked about before COVID, you being good. And then after COVID started like, wow, like we have so much to work on. And I agree. I think that COVID gave so much of an understanding and a capacity to really like go deeper inside. I know for myself, like I've been traveling since the beginning of COVID, that nothing stopped me. Like there was no fucking disease that was going to dis-ease or put disorder into my life. And I really believe that, you know, and this is of course me, this doesn't, you know, I know that a lot of people have suffered and, you know, had experiences of it. But I believe it's a really a mind thing. And I think that, you know, we can really heal ourselves, you know, from the capacity of our belief systems. And so that's kind of like, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of life to me is about, you know, we're born into this world and we actually heal and rejuvenate from the moment we're born. And we can actually have an inverse relationship with the way that we are able to live longer with the years that we're here and actually become younger. And it's a very different paradigm of thinking. It's, you know, it's an aging paradigm that I talk a lot about. It's, you know, it's part of the, like the compassionate really relation or leadership and relationships that I really believe in and the resilience roadmaps that I've really established along my own life journey. And so for me, I totally resonate with everything that you're talking about. And most importantly, you know, I'm excited to, you know, be on this journey alongside you. You know, I know we're on the opposite side of the planet, but I feel like you're a dear, dear sister that we're doing like great things. Yeah, bless your heart. And I honor you and your resilience, your capacity to continue to show up in the way that you do.
Thank you.
If there's anybody, thank you. No, thank you. Because, you know, our biggest resource is our time. And I mentioned this to you, like, before we jumped on, is like, or at the beginning, is taking the time and the initiative to like really follow our journeys and our paths and doing it without fear. And, you know, there's times in my life where I've had ebbs and flows in business and really being in uncertain situation when it comes to the finance side of things around, wow, like, should I still be fucking doing this? Because like, just because I believe in it, is this really something that, and I'll be honest with you, I'm in a place right now where, yeah, like it's a place like, I'm wanting to step up so big and so in such a huge capacity. But yet, like, is it the finances that is going to stop me, or am I going to become resourceful enough to like find the right people that believe in like what this mission truly is? So it's all about the resourcefulness. It's never about the resources that we have.
I think it's about getting out of the, so when we talk about the space of lack, and they call it the poverty consciousness, right? It's like, when we tell ourselves that there is no lack, there's no lack, that everything you are right now is worthy of everything that there is, and that there's plenty of it. That's another thing, is that people have that mindset where they're like, oh, that person has this much money. Like, I can't have that much money. That there's plenty of money in the world. That if anything, people who are doing this work are the ones that should be resourceful and abundant. That, you know, as divine beings, we're supposed to be abundant because we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this time and the space we carry inside of ourselves should be the space that we carry outside of ourselves. So if we are the creator of space, well, you know how big space can be. So, you know, yeah. It gives us an opportunity to see this on the inside. So if anybody wants to reach out and know more about what you're doing, what you're up to, how to connect with you, what's the best way to connect with you, Farah?
Just go to my website, farahsadiq.com. And it's on my Instagram, Farah M. Sadiq. And just email me. That's always the best way to message me. So
thank you so much. I have one last question for you. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I would probably be swimming in the Mediterranean. That's what I would do.
Well, you got to come visit Ibiza.
Yeah, it's been on my bucket, so for sure.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll see you soon. Do you have any last things that you want to add or anything you want to share?
Just want to tell everyone that feels like helpless and hopeless and is having a hard time that we're all going to get through this together. We will. Thank you so much.
You're so beautiful. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.